Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Roger Sierra.
And today, yes. We are joined by singer, songwriter, producer, and voice actress, Stephanie Nadalny. Stephanie, how are you today?
I am doing pretty good. Pretty good. I'm glad to be here. My fellow Tennessee people. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. So it's good to see you guys again. It hasn't been that long.
No, just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And for the people that are watching, we actually got the opportunity to meet Stephanie at FarleyCon 2023 in East Ridge, Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. We actually recorded her panel with her and Mike McFarland, which was a really awesome panel. It's on our YouTube channel now. Go check it out. But let's go ahead and let's get this interview started real quick. For the people who may not know who you are, who is Stephanie Nadalny?
That's my voice contributions to the outrageously popular English dub of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, the voices of
go on,
it's Kai, Baby Trunks, and many other background characters. I'm also a vocalist. I've been touring with show bands since 1991, off and on, and mainly notably Vince Vance and the Valiants, featuring the Vivacious Vixens of Rock and Roll, Venus, Violet, and Victoria. And also with the High Roller Show Band, the senior breakfast band for the Windstar World Casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma. And now I'm doing a bunch of Comic-Con, so I am a meet and greet. I've taught voice to kids and a beginner piano. My first love's always been music and singing, and I'm just anything and everything, singing, dancing, acting, performer, making people laugh, entertaining, all ages, but mostly singer and voice actor.
Awesome.
Yes. So I'm sure you get asked this a million times, but for our audience, they may not know, how did you get started in the world of voice acting?
Yeah, well, what started the whole ball rolling is, as a kid, I gravitated towards music and singing, and we always had music in the house. We always had a nice stereo. My mom and dad were both big music lovers. And at the young age of 3 or 4, I just decided, after hearing Donna Summer and all the disco albums my dad had, I wanted to be a singer. So I would just listen incessantly to singers and mimic their voices. And I literally learned how to sing that way. I would just listen by ear. And that's also how I learned how to play the piano, was listening and then figuring it out on the piano. And I could just entertain myself for hours doing creative things like writing songs and lyrics and poetry. I kept a journal, and I was a big creative art person. I was very scholastic, so I loved anything and everything that related to school. And as I got older, you know, we moved around a lot, unfortunately. So I was constantly having to start over in small towns, which was really difficult. But I just got involved in anything, musical theater, dancing and acting and singing. And as I got older, you know, I decided I was going to, you know, pursue that as a career. Joined a show band right out of high school. Singing, dancing, acting, touring, and I got the audition through working with that band and another band called Brave Combo. It's a Grammy award-winning polka band, and when I was at one of their sessions recording on an album, one of their fans and close friends was at that session and heard my voice and asked if I've ever done any voice acting, and I said, yeah, I've done, you know, done some musical theater and some voices and things like that for fun and mimicking and comedic stuff like Weird Al Yankovic stuff, you know, changing the lyrics to songs and writing parodies and jingles. And he invited me into to audition for Dragon Ball Z. At the time, I had no idea what it was. I didn't know anything about anime. This was 1998. And I tried out for all the females, again, not knowing who they were or what it was about. And before I left the room with the judges, there were three people listening to the audition. They asked me to do the voice of a young boy, and thankfully I'd been, you know, a silly mimic my whole life, changing my voice and just for fun, prank calling and things like that we used to do. I came up with a little boy voice, and And they just said, make it kind of raspy. And I ended up getting cast as Gohan. And that's where my voice acting really began, was with that, you know, aside from doing some stuff for Chuck E. Cheese and Jimmy Toys, which are just voices of toys and singing animals and things. That was kind of really what put me on the map. And that's kind of what started this whole ball rolling with voice acting.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Awesome. That's really cool.
That's kind of a long story. I tried to summarize it, but the older you get, the more you have to talk about because you've lived more life.
Right.
I understand. So yeah. it was the music that brought you to voice acting.
Yes.
It all falls back to music.
The singing, like the voice. Yep. Singing, mimicking, learning how to sing. With theater in school, I did community theater. I was always planning and rehearsing for concerts and recitals. And I ended up taking piano lessons and just anything and everything music is really what started the whole thing. And then once I was able to record and listen back to myself on cassettes when I was younger, I would make up my own shows and interview my friends and come up with different character voices. And I would even write the themes for the opening songs. And later on, I was able to do a little bit more of that by writing, singing, and producing parodies and jingles for like morning show radio, which is really fun. That's what expanded my career into some comedy. I wrote parodies and jingles, you know, anything from songs about, you know, turkey dinner, a turkey like this. And I would take the songs and change the lyrics, make them something current that people can relate to. And then that stemmed into writing novelty songs for kids, which therefore also led to mentoring children and kids wanting to get into the industry and teaching voice and piano.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So speaking of teaching kids that, you know, want to get into the industry and everything, what advice would you give to an aspiring voice actor or actress?
Practice everything all the time, anytime you have free time. I know that was a lot of what contributed to me being able to change my voice and make it malleable, and then applying the acting to it, and then putting all of that through the delivery of your lines. If somebody wanted to get into music, I would highly recommend that they start getting coaching and taking lessons even outside of school, as young as they want to start, really. Taking up a musical instrument would be helpful. You don't necessarily have to go with one thing. I mean, I ended up doing a bunch of different things. And then what happened with me, it kind of morphed into sort of a dream career, because when I joined my show band, I was right out of high school and it was majoring in drama in college. And I was able to sing, dance, act, and choreograph, as well as get involved in the costuming and write some of the skits and be involved in the production of things like that. And then I stayed long enough to where I was starting to recruit for the band and mentor young singers, usually mostly right as they come out of high school, that need some experience. That might be a little green, but they could, you know, but they have that raw talent and that potential. And I just had an ear and an eye for it. And I just started recruiting young performers into the band, and whether I was there or not, and I still go back to the show band I was in for many years if they need me. And so that's kind of what ended up happening for me, is I kind of did a little bit of everything and then just kind of honed in on the singing and joining, you know, band locally. Now I work with a band called Moonglass Band. It's my own group. We're on hiatus right now because this year I'm doing Comic-Con conventions pretty much every weekend, meet and greets, comic book stores, all kinds of stuff like that. And then I do things like this during the week, like what we're doing, podcasts, and, you know, visit schools. I have a big heart for that whole just inspiring kids that really want to pursue the creative arts, and try to help them how to navigate through the ins and outs and ups and downs, and, you know, the fact there's a lot of rejection and not everybody makes it big, and you got to kind of know people and you have to network, and it's very rare that somebody just decides they want to do it and they just have the raw talent and then they just get cast in something right away. And I think it does happen from time to time, but it does take a lot of effort and a lot of time and study. There's workshops and different things like that. So I just kind of, like, everybody's different. So I just kind of assess the situation based on who comes to me from you know, to ask for information or guidance. And then we just kind of take it from there.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talon, you're muted.
Talon, you're muted.
Oh, no.
I guess it did it to me twice already. I don't know why it's doing that to me. Sorry. Now, I was just going to ask, like, how do you approach bringing a character to life? Like, because we've heard from other voice actors and other people have different, I guess, processes on how they come up with the voice of a character. You know, maybe they talk to the director and there's some type of communication. Like, what is your, I guess, process when trying to discover or figure out how a particular voice would sound?
Well, it's different for every project. If there's an audition, you know, usually it's helpful for me if they provide a description of the character and a photo or a drawing or anything of a character. Every once in a while, if I get an audition, it'll sometimes give you like a voice reference, like something on YouTube, like we're kind of going for this sound, if you can kind of recreate this style or this tone. And so that's kind of my technique, my preferred technique. But if they just have very little information, I just make everything up in my head. You know, I've already been doing that my whole life. If I fit the part or they think I, you know, am a good fit for their project, then great. If not, it's a great experience for me every time I audition. And it's one more thing I can say that I've done. And it challenges me to come up with new voices that don't sound like other ones that I've done for many years. And that's what I really want to continue to be good at, is to voice completely different characters so that I, you know, I can be diverse and not be pigeonholed into just doing little boys or whatever, because I have all kinds right. of other voices. And I do some mimicking as well. So sometimes I'll take a reference from an aunt or an uncle or a cousin that I played with as a kid, or maybe a classmate, or I might morph a voice that I have in mind and then put my spin on it, like maybe mimic a Beavis and a Butthead voice and then like change it, or makes what have a rough, you know, like a stuffy nose or something, or, you know, it might be something about the character that, you know, maybe he's a little nerdy or geeky, or maybe he's really shy or she or whatever. And I've also, like I said, if there's direction, I just try to follow direction. And otherwise, I just dive in, because sometimes you might audition for something, or a director might hear your voice and you're auditioning for one specific character, but they hear your voice and they think that you might be better suited for another one. So it's definitely better to submit than not to submit at all. If you don't hear anything back, that obviously means you didn't get the role, but you just kind of close that door and then just go on to the next. And if someone calls you back and they think you're great for it, you're good to go. That's kind of how I do it.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
So is there like any like techniques or like some kind of exercises you do to make sure like your voice doesn't like go out, or just like maintain it or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I have lots of experience being a singer, you know, recording in the studio, original music, cover bands. I feel like I've kind of done it all. So I have a really good understanding of what condition my voice is in, and, you know, like how to take care of it. And I can warm up before sessions. I can, you know, obviously need to get a lot of rest and make sure I stay hydrated, basically, you know, basic stuff like that. But if I, you know, if I've got an audition, I usually try to shoot for later in the day, when my voice is woken up and I've had my coffee and I've kind of been out and about, because we all have different schedules and we have different times when we're more awake and we're more like more energy, and mine's usually in the afternoon, and, you know, kind of in getting into the evening, you know, being a musician and performing, you know, mostly nighttime events my whole life, it's kind of like that's when I'm just naturally, you know, awake, and I try to, you know, make sure I'm prepared that way and make sure that I looked over the material and maybe give it a shot and dive right into it. Or we, you know, if it doesn't work out, you start over. Cause nowadays you can kind of record from home, or at least record your auditions from home. A lot of the studios are back in action and you've kind of got to be in person. And you know, there's some limitations there, because there's a lot of roles that I'd like to be considered for that may be based out of companies that produce in LA or New York, and I'm Dallas Fort Worth based. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm completely limited, but you know, some people just want you to come in the studio in person. And so you just kind of have to navigate it the best way you can. Thankfully, I'm very resourceful, and yeah, I'm great with people. And, you know, I get up and I hit the ground running, and I'm, you know, I'm always available. I try to always have my access to my emails and to anybody who might be trying to reach me for any bookings. And I just try to keep putting out the positive vibes. I'm very grateful and optimistic that, you know, we're kind of all coming out of this COVID nightmare and pulling out of it. And, you know, now there's more pop culture Comic Cons than there, I think there ever was. So there's lots of opportunities for me to get out and meet and greet my, you know, my fans from all over. And some, I think next year I'll be going overseas a few times too. I'm waiting to see, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love to travel, and I love to meet the fans and their families and their right. babies and their kids and their dogs, or, you know, whatever they bring to the convention. It's always something. It's always something unique. The cosplay is fun. I really enjoy the industry of, you know, the vendors and the staff and the volunteers, and, you know, maybe going out to eat with everybody after the show, and, you know, really just interacting. It's just it's a big void in my life that, you know, I don't have a family of my own. Really, my mom passed away young when I got cast as Gohan. So
our
matriarch was gone. So I've got this big void. I've always wanted children. I wasn't able to have them, and all these, you know, these interactions with families and kids and anime babies has really been really gratifying for me personally.
Man,
that's great that you get to travel and meet all these people that really adore you. I mean, like us, because it's still a shock for me in general.
And I'm very much down to earth. You know, I'm just, I guess you could say I'm a Tennessee girl. I've lived in Texas most of my life, but you know, we're a lot of us Southerners are friendly, and yeah. I always make time to write back to the fans one by one. And, you know, tend to fan mail. And if anyone needs autographs to the mail, I try to be available for that too. So, yeah. So I'm kind of like juggling. But I do good when I'm busy. I do good when I've constantly got something going on. I'm really just more on my game when that's going on. When COVID was really hard for me to just feel so shut off. You know, some people loved it because they could work from home and they could just be in their underwear or whatever. But I had to get out of the house. I'm a go-getter. I'm just, my personality is just like,
yeah,
you need people.
Yeah,
I hated it. I hated COVID. Yeah, I hated so it.
Yeah.
And the fact is that we just had, like, it was so crazy because the moment COVID happened was when we had our daughter. So we have, like, she's still got to go to these doctor's appointments. Like, we still got to get this done. We still got to get that done.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Oh, Lord. And the nurse, ironically enough, the nurse that was in the room that helped my wife deliver the baby told me that had my wife gone into labor like 2 days later, I couldn't be in the room with her because of that's how high the COVID situation was. So I got in there just in time. So, you know.
Oh, my gosh. The timing was probably good then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Being at home to watch her grow up too.
I was convinced that my daughter believed that she was being raised by ninjas because everybody was wearing a mask, you know. So,
oh, right, you know. I didn't think about that. That's right. First memories, wearing masks. I can't imagine.
Yeah, and it's crazy because a friend of mine also had their first child too, and he was like, man, these. I don't know what we're going to do. And he's freaking out. I'm like, just calm down. This will be over in, you know, a couple of months. And here we are 3 years later. We're just now getting over it. And now there's another wave that could be coming in. But that's
right.
We're not talking about that. Yeah. We're talking about you.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a global pandemic. I mean, that hadn't happened in so long. But yeah, and then for being a performer and being on stage and entertaining, like my entire band, we're all full-time musicians. We had to just completely shut our entire band and, you know, cancel. I can't even remember how many gigs we had to cancel. It's like 40 or 50 gigs or something.
Wow, that's a lot.
A year. And so, and then try to find a way to make a living and pay our bills.
Yeah.
Oof, yeah. But look at what we've learned from it too, though. We've learned different things like this, like these meetings and Zoom meetings and being able to somehow find a way to connect with other people. And that's what we constantly have to learn to do is when these things happen, find a way to navigate and adjust to make it work for everybody.
For sure.
Absolutely.
During COVID, did you take part in any of the virtual cons that went on?
I did one for GalaxyCon, I believe. And then I did some of these types of things like we're doing here. I did some podcast interviews and managed to schedule things like that. And you know, I was able to do some teaching. It was not the same. I mean, the dynamic was just really difficult to try to navigate when you're used to having, say, like you're teaching kids, you know, music or your piano without being in person together at a piano. It was very challenging. I was able to make it work, you know, on the short term. Then I started getting busy again with conventions. And so right now my teaching's on hiatus, but I can go back to kind of like anytime I'm ready, which I love kids and I love to help encourage them to create and to be artistic if that's what their heart is pushing them to do, and to really just be an inspiration for that.
Right.
That's awesome.
I love that, you know, you're there and you want to teach the kids and help the kids and everything. One last question before we get into the kind of meat and potatoes of why we asked you here, but are there any memorable behind the scenes moments from your voice acting career that like just stick out, just like super memorable, that stick out for you?
I really enjoyed, once I'd been voice acting for a while, you know, like once I kind of got the gist of the logistics of it and the process of, you know, getting the discipline down of when to wait, you know, how long you had to wait to start, or if you could do the, you know, the line right after and they could slide it into place and stuff like that. I really became really interested in really with the character development and with, especially with Gohan, and then like those, the really the meat and potatoes of the scene with in the Cell Saga with the father son Kamehameha, because like I said, my mom had passed, so I had real live emotional content to draw from really being through really one of the worst things in my entire life, was losing my mom at such a young age and so untimely, and environmental toxins that led to cancer. Like, it was just a horrible stream of events. But so I really felt like I got some really good stuff from having been through it and truly really trying to make something good out of something so terrifyingly horrible. and to really be something that was iconic for a lot of the kids and the watching at the time. And that Dragon Ball Z was, I've been told so many times that it was, you know, that was their childhood, or that was their escape, or that was the nostalgia that they ran home from school to watch. And, you know, and it's just, it's very gratifying to really feel like, you know, that there's a purpose, you know, even without me being able to have kids and not having my mom and all these things I thought I was going to have, that there's like, you know, there's always a reason. There's always the spirit is just, it's always can overcome almost things that you really don't think you can, or you don't think it's possible. So, so that for me really stands out, because it was just such a, it's like the show must go on mentality though. It's like, you've got to jump right back out on stage. And I was touring with a band and coming into town and recording those lines. But then when we got Dragon Ball and I was offered the role of Goku, it was like, oh, we're gonna have some fun with this, you know. And he was just so funny, and his innocence and comedic lines were a source of a lot of laughter in the process of recording behind the scenes, and then also seeing it all put together. And now I'm doing TikToks with the OG Bulma, and we're doing the Bulma and the Goku scene, and we're, you know, and I'm interacting with some of the other OG actors and actresses and at these conventions. And it's like really, it's like coming full circle. It's like, you know, we knew everybody back then when we were a small company, we had little cast parties, and now we're seeing each other out and about within the pop culture scene. So I mean, mainly the depth of the Gohan character and how how much I could relate to him and the bullying and the, you know, being loyal to your friends and betrayal and, you know, all these things that happened to some of us, you know, some younger, some older. But then just having that really carefree, lighthearted, you know, Goku, I'm going to pull down my pants and pee in the river. Oh, it's time to go fishing. Time to make dinner. You know, it's just like so silly and so fun. And I could live vicariously through the voice of, you know, this little kid that's a boy. So that became a lot. It was just a lot of fun. It was a lot more gratifying because it was so funny. You know, to really capture those lines and then like really hit the punchline and just with the best possible delivery I could come up with.
Yeah, I think some of the my favorite from Dragon Ball with Goku is when he'd walk up to somebody and be like, "Are you a boy or a girl?" Pat pat.
Yep, pat pat. Yeah. He did it all the time. I mean, and he just didn't know any better, and it was not. It was just, you know, are you a girl or a boy? It's hard to tell sometimes, you know. And why don't you have a tail? I guess you don't have one. No big deal. You know, Krillin jumps on me. You know, he's obviously falls right through. Whereas Goku can sit on top of it, and he's just like simply says, "You must not be pure of heart." You know, it's like no big deal. You know, so to just really feel like I could really channel that and really make it believable, you know, it was a really cool. It was a challenge, but something that I really strove for. You know, always wanted to make sure that we were getting the best of the best.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome.
So you've mentioned it a few times, you know, helping the kids and bullying and everything. And you have an anti-bullying campaign. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really anything that has become an entity directly, like under an umbrella that I created. I've right. more than anything, I've it catches my eye when I hear about any kind of program that I could be involved in that does involve anti-bullying campaigns, or if there's a program that's implemented that I can be involved in, whether it's online or whether we're doing like a Zoom meeting or whether it's appearing at a school. Or, you know, back in the, I want to say around 2012 and 13, I was actually visiting schools in person, all kind of within about 100-mile radius around Dallas-Fort Worth. And I was incorporating my role as Goku and Gohan and being a singer into the program. So I put on a show and I would sing. And these kids were, most of these kids were under 13, under 12. So I would interact with them and entertain them, but also tie in the importance of accepting others of any background, any age, any, you know, and to always understand that you never know what's going on with somebody. I had a crazy, insane, broken childhood with divorce, and I moved I moved like 9 times before I was 16 years old. And I never had that sense that I had like a foundation, like, you know, underneath me. And it made it really hard when you were a new girl all the time, especially small towns where people had grown up their whole lives together. And then all of a sudden I'm trying to fit into all this, you know, and then being a singer and a dancer and a performer. And, you know, that was a difficult time for me. And it happened over and over. And so I have a big heart for those who, you know, were bullied like I was, you know, I was made fun of. I was, you know, I was a misfit, and, you know, maybe I, you know, in a way I tried too hard or something. And then that the people that lived there could tell, like, you know, but I was just trying to get by. I mean, I didn't ask to be there. I was, you know, I had to move because my stepdad was transferred. And, you know, so it was just really, I remember the ones who were nice to me. I remember those moments, like, I can go to that spot in my brain like that. And I've decided that instead of letting it make me bitter or angry, I just kind of processed it and thought, well, I don't want to be that way to people. Like, that's not a natural thing for me to do, is to be mean. So it just made me more compassionate and more kind and more aware of when I would notice someone being bullied whether it be, you know, middle school, high school, college. You know, there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of competitiveness in my line of work. There's, you know, I was in drama. I was in, you know, community theater. I was doing plays with, in performances and talent shows. It seems like there's just always this level of a competitive. Sometimes it's a healthy competitive thing, and sometimes it's really, really very, very negative and very nasty. And that's been my biggest hurdle in my line of work, is that kind of stuff, that the bullying and the like, well, I'm better than you, or people saying this in front of you, and then behind your back, they're like cutting you down because they don't want you to get their role, or they're finding a way to get you out of the talent pool because they don't want you to audition for the parts that they want. And I've definitely been involved in that. And in fact, I'm not in Kai or Super. I was replacing Kai or Super. And, you know, I wasn't really given a reason. I didn't really understand why. And I kind of found out a little bit the hard way. But, you know, my business that I chose to be in, you know, you get a lot of rejection. You get a lot, you know, you might fit in great here. You might not here. You could have tons of talent and never make it. You could just not know the right people, not being in the right spot at the right time. I mean, there's just so many things involved, you know, the promotion, the money, the marketing, all of that stuff. And so I just naturally, being a mentor to young singers for Vince Vance and the Valiants, found myself becoming kind of like this nurturing kind of mother hen. And I'm very much that way with my fans. And I don't know, it just kind of kicks in naturally. My mom was like that, very, very nurturing and kind and accepting and loving and generous and all these things. So even though that kind of hurt me sometimes in the industry, but I also learned from those moments to allow it to teach me a lesson and to grow from it. And so I'm very much like that with the kids that I mentor, and most of them are, you know, middle school, high school age. And then I'm involved with a campaign called Pink Thursdays, and they're online. You can look them up. They have a different guest or somebody in a certain industry, and they wear pink and they talk about anti-racism and anti-bullying. And so I'm involved in that. And then there's some other smaller groups here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that I'm a part of. And then when they have their fundraisers, you know, I donate autographs and things like that, because it's a really big deal. These moments where kids are being bullied, you know, some end in horrible tragedies. You know, some of these kids don't necessarily, they're still learning how to cope with life. And then when something horrible happens or somebody bullies them, sometimes they don't want to live anymore, and horrible things happen. And so there needs to be more programs implemented to help kids, you know, kind of that crucial age, you know, where they're like 11, 12 preteen, and they're kind of really kind of learning how to get through life and what are they going to do with their life, but they're still young. And there needs to be groups and places for them to go where they can talk about what's going on at school, or if they can't talk to their parents, you know, or things like that, where they feel like they've got a source of compassion, or, you know, that somebody they can trust that's not going to betray them or make them feel any more vulnerable than they already do. And so it's just a big thing that I'm really, you know, passionate about. So I also have some other people that have been reaching out to me to work with kids in the ministry and the Christian ministry and things like that. And if I can sing a song or write a song, or, you know, if there's something I can do with a gift that I've been given to try to help somebody or kids that have been bullied, then I try to make a point to do that. So I'm in a position now where I feel like I can, and I can utilize the being cast as Gohan kind of thing. Like, you can be your own superhero and things like that. Like, I feel like I, you know, so I don't really have my own per se, but I've been involved in a lot of anti-bullying projects and campaigns that are going on all over the place.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, some kids don't have their parents. I mean, I appeared at one school recently where the kids had all been through a lot for being so young, and they all, the class I went to specifically wanted to pursue creative arts. And so a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing happened. And they're like, oh, you've got to come talk to these kids. You know, some of them are in jail. They were victims of somebody in their household that had committed suicide. Trauma, like real, raw, emotional trauma. And so I just had a big heart for that because I had my own issues and things going on with a broken family and, you know, domestic abuse, things like that. And so I went and just talked to them and just kind of helped, got them to open up. And, you know, I signed some things for them and just gave them some advice. They had questions. And I just basically was there to just be a helping hand and encourage them.
That's amazing.
That's amazing for sure.
So that's where absolutely anti-bullying stuff. And there's always, you know, I'm easy to reach. So if anyone ever, you know, if there's something I can do to help with that particular crusade, I'm on board with it.
No, I think it's definitely needed. Programs like that are definitely needed nowadays, especially with how kids care more about social media. And it's just easier for them to get bullied and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think
avenues to bully someone.
Yeah.
It's just easier to bully somebody online because now it's like, oh, I don't even have to do it at school. I can just tag you in this post on Facebook making fun of you. And then it's like, it's like a lot of kids leave school and it's like, man, I'm glad I'm home. At least I can watch my TV shows. I can play with my parents or I can play with my sister or I can do something like that. I don't want to go to school because I don't want to get bullied anymore. And I really don't have anybody to talk to about it. But in today's day and age, social media, it's like they could just tag you in a post and blocking don't work. Cause then if you go to school, why'd you block me, man? You know, and then that
it's even more. You know? Yeah. And then there's like situations where people will hide behind a computer screen and say there's somebody else.
Cause
with us, you know, people would write you notes or whatever. We didn't have social media. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that or computers or anything. And it was pretty bad already. So I can only imagine the level of how this can, you know, people can just literally be lurking and trolling you. So in some ways, as we all know, social media can be very harmful and addicting. I think it's good. And I know this sounds cliche, but you got to have a balance. You got to have a balance of something of your face-to-face encounters and your relationships with your teachers and your schoolmates. And then you've got to have a balance of whatever it is that you do online, especially when you're young, you're not even out of high school yet.
And there's so much more influenced and stuff matters a lot more for them now too. So it's that hard age for them.
Yeah,
it is, absolutely. But there's also a lot more resources for kids or people feeling like they're isolated or they have to isolate because they're scared. There's also Google. There's that part of it, which is like hands-on, you know, right here on your phone or whatever. You can look up organizations or church groups or whatever it is, you know, a youth group of some kind where you can go and play pool and have snacks and hang out with people that are misfits themselves. And I think that's another reason why I'm so happy to be a part of these Comic-Cons and these pop culture events, because that's just a big giant place for misfits to meet, you know, geeks and dweebs, and we all geek out together and embrace each other. Like, hey, you dress up your favorite character. I don't care if you're 20 or 30 or 40. You know, you're welcome here. And that's where I've kind of found my place. It's kind of because I've kind of been that misfit that's always like never really fit in either. And it's like, well, where do I fit in all of this life stuff? So I really feel a connection to these people and they feel safe in those environments. If they were doing it anywhere else, they'd be made fun of.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just really sad.
Yeah. That is the great thing about conventions. It is pretty much people like you who love, enjoy the same things. So that everybody knows the same jokes and
know,
everybody's a friend immediately. Like you go up to somebody, you're standing in line for something and you guys communicate and it's a friendship right then and there, and it's a great thing.
Yeah, there's a community, there's a sense of community, you know, and there's people that like, literally can look you in the eye and go, I know who you're dressed up as or whatever it is, you know. And it's just a great place. You know, there's drama. You're gonna find drama anywhere and everywhere, you know. But it's just for the most part at these events, I usually find it to be a really positive experience for families and for people of all ages.
Oh yes.
Definitely. I get a kick out of being able to like take photographs and stuff, because, you know,
yeah,
I take a lot of the photographs of the cosplayers and stuff like that, and I'll say, hey, check it out on our Facebook page, and then they'll see it and they're like, oh my God, this is an awesome picture. Thank you so much for taking it. And it's like, that yeah. makes me feel good, because it's like, I made somebody's day by simply taking a picture of them. You know, so yeah, like that makes me feel good. And hopefully they see that and it's like, you know, somebody thought that this looked good enough to say, hey, let me take a picture of it. You know, and in mind, like, I was going to take a picture of it anyway. You know what I mean? Because I mean,
it's like they feel valued. It's like a validation. Like they feel a part of something and it makes them feel special. And I think it also, these events can cater to the child that we all have inside of us, because we were all children. Nobody gets around that, right? So it's like, I think you can really feel like a child, and you can really feel youthful and excited. And there's so much to see. There's so much to do. And look at these cool keychains. And there's so many opportunities for people to be creative. And there's artists. There's people that draw, that paint, that sketch, that, you know, the comic book collectors. There's the comic book creators. There's, you know, and then there's just people that just create their own art out of whatever it is they love, and jewelry, and I mean anything and everything. It's just really fun. There's always something for everybody, whether it's a tiny little convention in a small town or a big giant one in a big giant city somewhere or overseas or whatever. There's just, it's just great. And I love being a part of that.
Yeah.
That's how we met. You know, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm glad we did, because this has been great. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's been really great. I really appreciate you guys.
No, we appreciate you.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely appreciate you. Absolutely,
such an honor to have you here.
Yes,
it really is. So we don't want to take up too much of your time. We know that you're super busy. If anybody wanted to get in contact with you or follow you, where would they go?
So it's super easy. I've got a website. It's been up for a couple of years now. It's www.stephanienadalny.com. And it's got, like, you know, my bio, Wikipedia, IMDb, some of my demo reels, some video links, also some animation theme links as well. A lot of the anime fans don't realize I'm a singer, and I started out singing long ago. And so there's a connection there with the animation themes, and I'll be hopefully getting some original music up soon. There's an album I did with Brave Combo out of Denton, Texas. And we just never released it, and it kind of got shelved. All of this was right around when I lost my mom. So that became a priority, and a lot of things had to be, you know, put off. And so, I want to dive back into that and really get back into my music and get back on the piano and, you know, get some gigs booked and kind of just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And once this year gets through, I'll be getting back in the studio for sure and recording with some other musicians that I've been in contact with for decades that really want to work with me again. So I'm really looking forward to that, getting in the studio and recording and creating and writing. And, you know, whether it's another kid song or whether it's a pop song or whatever it is that I want to do, that's definitely going to be on the calendar, hopefully sooner than later. It takes a lot of time and a lot of planning and a lot of studio time and a lot of financing and things like that, but I'm hoping that can happen soon.
Have you ever performed any of your music at conventions?
I have. I've done, I worked with a really cool guy here in Dallas, Fort Worth. He's a guitar player, and he was already working at a few Comic Cons, especially anime cons, where he would play the music from just all these very popular animes. And I met him recently. In fact, I'm doing an interview with him tomorrow. And we've done, I think, 4 different Comic Cons together where we've worked after hours. Mm-hmm. And I sang the Yu Yu Hakusho theme, Sayonara Bye Bye, and yeah. Dragon Ball theme, you know, which I've done. I didn't record the original, but I do have a demo of that. So I know that song frontwards and backwards. And so we did that one. And we're looking to do some more anime themes that we think the audience would like. But it's just a matter of getting our schedules together and getting the logistics to make it work for both of us to be able to be in the same place at the same time. It usually has to be somewhere in the region, you know, local to Dallas Fort Worth. So we hope to do a little bit. I'm going to talk to him a little bit more about that tomorrow and see. Otherwise it would just be me, you know, singing to some tracks, which I'm not opposed to. I'm just really spoiled because I've been singing with bands since I was 18. And so when I'm just really spoiled to performing with live musicians.
Have you like done any other performances with other voice actors? Because a lot of the ones we've met also mm-hmm. have like a history of music and everything like that.
I've only collaborated with David, and then I've done some a cappella stuff, and yeah, I've done some hosting some karaoke and, you know, doing some fun things like that, some of the activities after, you know, after the main day is over and things like that. And I'm certainly not opposed to doing that again. It's just hard for me to get my entire band wherever yeah. I have to be, and then for the convention to have the budget to accommodate something like that. But it's a great idea, and I'd like to do it more. So I always let the promoters know, hey, I'm a singer. If you want me to sing some stuff, or just get up at opening ceremonies and sing a part of a song for you, or whatever, and most times they're open to that idea.
That's awesome. That would be awesome to see.
Absolutely.
Definitely would love to see that.
Yes.
And I'd like to collaborate. I just collaborated with a guy in San Antonio, and Linda Young, also the original voice of Frieza, as well as Chuck Huber. He's actually a rapper, and he's pretty good, and he's like up and coming, and at some point they're gonna release.
We need to talk to him.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait, Chuck Huber's the rapper?
Well, no. We all worked with is a rapper in San Antonio. Okay. But I do highly recommend you get with him, by the way. If you want me to put you in contact, he'd be a great guest.
Yes, please. He's super funny.
I think the fans will absolutely love it. And he uses his voices, and he's really animated and fun. And he does workshops and things like that. So we have a lot in common. So, but we're all involved in a little bit of a music. It's I don't really know where it's headed, but I know that the songs that we were involved in involved rap music. So I kind of was rapping. I didn't think I'd ever really rap, really. And Gohan's voice, it was kind of interesting. But I've done songs, novelty songs, in some of my character voices. It's just that I'd never thought that I was going to be, you know, Cell Saga Gohan in a rap song. The fans are, I'm telling you, they come up with wacky ideas. And
I want to hear that.
I want to hear that now.
That needs to be, I need to see that.
When I find out when it's going to be released, I'll make sure you guys find out about it. I'll reach out to you and say, here it is.
Oh, thank you so much.
That'd be great. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
So where can the fans see Stephanie next?
My website will have that, but I know that this weekend I'll be heading to, I don't know how current this is or who all's gonna be watching it or when, but over Labor Day weekend I'm headed to Phoenix, Arizona, and then I'm gonna be in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, the following weekend, September 9th, September 16th, Monroe, Michigan, outside of Detroit, which will be a first one for me. I haven't been to Michigan yet. I'm kind of excited about that. And I'm definitely excited to get out of Texas and get north. It has been triple digits. It's been nuts. It's been like so hot. After that, I believe I'm in Midland, Odessa. I'll be in Texas. I'll be in West Texas.
That mojo magic.
And then Corpus Christi, the weekend of the 30th and 1st of October. I'll be back in Massachusetts, middle October. October 21st, I'll be in LA, Los Angeles, for Ronin Con. And then last week of October, I think I'm back in Tennessee. I believe I'm in Nashville.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
I got some friends in the music industry that live there. So I'm looking forward to spending some time there with some of my friends and maybe cut some demos.
And get some good barbecue.
Country music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then beyond that is a blur because I can only remember so much, but it'll all be on my website, and that's at www.stephanienadalny.com.
And we'll make sure we have that in the link below as well.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. Yeah. This has been a lot of fun. It's good to see you guys again, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd have told me when we first started this podcast 4 years ago, hey, you want to interview go on? Absolutely, you know.
Let's do it.
The trippiest thing, you know. And you know, I would have said you're crazy at the time, but now it's like it's happening. And again, we can't thank you
We can't thank you enough for doing this for us. We really do appreciate it, and we really do thank you for being here tonight. We do appreciate
it. It's my pleasure. You guys are great. This is fun. I can hang out with the boys.
We're more than welcome to have you all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was in a band with a bunch of boys and hanging out with, you know, brothers and whatever. And you kind of put me anywhere. You know, when you moved around a lot, you kind of can just navigate. I'm like, oh, here? Okay, well, I'll just get to meet so-and-so from so-and-so. And, you know, and that's a lot of fun. You get to learn about a lot of life when you travel.
Yeah.
All kinds of people. You learn about culture. You learn about, I mean, it's just, I encourage it. If anybody to get out and make some money so you can travel.
Yes. It's the best experience you can have.
For sure.
Yep. Awesome. I'd rather travel than buy material objects, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. You can always buy a material object. You can't always buy an experience. You know what I mean? So.
Right. I agree completely. A memory is capturing the moment, bringing your family or going somewhere with a friend or, you know, anything like that is it's going to shape who you become and who you are. And it's going to broaden your understanding of different types of people and gets you out of your bubble, like your little protective bubble. It's like there's this whole other world out there, you know.
Yes. Absolutely.
Take it from me. I was shushed as a child. I was like constantly, my stepdad was constantly trying to just squash me and because he couldn't control me. But that was very limiting. But then as I got out on my own, I'm like, hey, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, that's why I tell the kids, like, don't limit yourself. You can pursue a dream and don't give up. If it's something that you've got a fire about, you know, keep at it. You know, you might have to have a job you don't like very much for a while to pay your bills, but then, you know, keep working on your free time on your passions.
That's awesome. Yeah. See, usually we have our guests, you know, give a piece of advice or something like that, but you've given us so much advice to give out to our fans and stuff. And I know they're definitely going to appreciate it because I know there's a lot of people that do watch us that are sort of feel like they're stuck in places. And I think what you've been telling us, a lot of positivity, maybe somebody will resonate and be like, you know what? I kind of keep doing this for this. Yeah. Yep.
Get some motivation going, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, this has been amazing.
Great.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Again, like I said, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight on this very special episode of Movement Radio. Chip, Roger, anything you guys want to say before we bounce out of here this evening?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe right here on YouTube and on Spotify.
What about you, Roger? Anything?
Just, you know, hit the like and the share for sure. Give some love to Stephanie for joining us. And also, you know, all the work she does, that's amazing. No, it's a great thing. And go to a convention.
Yeah. You
never know what can happen.
Yeah. hang out at conventions. Absolutely.
Write me a letter. I can do a shout. I can do shout outs. I'm on Cameo. You know, I can wish you happy birthday or whatever. Just reach out on my website. I've got my fan mail and everything, and I'll interact directly with you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, ladies and gentlemen, also check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Well, like what Roger said, right here on the YouTube channel, make sure you hit the subscribe button, click that bell to get notified of our latest videos. Also, check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some more brand new merch. New designs should be coming within the next few months. And also check out movementradio.us, your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
Nice job.
He's done it a few times.
It over and over.
Yeah, you got memorized.
About 120 times a year, I think I've said that over and
it's,
over.
It's
so
fine.
Thank you guys again so much.
No,
thank you for sure. This has been amazing.
Hopefully coming out to Tennessee soon. So I hope to see you guys again sooner than later.
No, for sure. Absolutely. Yes. We're looking forward to it.
Keep doing your thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. All right. All right. Yeah. Let's do the outro.
I am Chip Hassard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And Stephanie, she is.
Yes.
I didn't know if I was part of that or not.
Always.
Yes.
Yes. Always.
Okay, cool.
And this has been Movement Radio.
God's plan.